Good evening. Good to see everybody. Come on. Hey, would you put a hand on your heart? We're gonna invite the Lord to do something, shake us up tonight. Jesus, we just thank you that your presence is in this place. Lord, that your word is clear, God, and when you speak, it cuts between soul and spirit. Lord, it divides. And Lord, it brings clarity, God, to our thought processes. It brings clarity to the emotional responses, God, reactions of our days. And Lord, it gives us wisdom and strength, Lord, to take steps forward in life. God, I thank you for that. And Lord, I just pray right now that you would release truly a spirit of wisdom and revelation upon us, that we would know Jesus. God, that we would know you more, that we would see you more clearly, and our lives would be transformed into your likeness. Lord, we pray these things right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, are you happy to be here tonight? There's a lot of fun things happening these days. I am deeply encouraged by all that the stories that I'm hearing from you guys, just all that God's doing. How many have experienced the Lord's voice in the last week? Like you felt like you heard God speak to you. Come on, look around for a moment. That is crazy awesome right there. These are lives that are being directed, pushing forward. They're making decisions based on something that the Holy Spirit is putting on their hearts. That means kingdom stuff is moving forward. Okay, show your hand again, just real quick. Okay, that is a whole lot of forward movement right there. I'm excited about that. Hey, I have a word to share with you tonight. It's fairly simple. It's fairly straightforward. And then I'm hoping to just bring a clear declaration to it and then maybe use some ministry afterwards. Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you have a Bible, would you please open to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25, or starting in verse 25. Matthew 6, 25. As you're turning there, oh, it's up on the screen too. There you go. I have had the privilege over these last several years to have this kind of a conversation many times. A person is making a decision, and they're not quite sure which direction to go. You ever found yourself in this place? You're coming to a crossroads. It's right or left. It's A, B, or C. You're going to have to make a decision. There's no way around it. Things are going to change. You're going to have to choose. You ever been there? Okay, how many just absolutely love the place of decision when you don't know the outcomes or the possible outcomes or any of the details around these decisions? You're just being forced into making a decision. How many just absolutely, you enjoy the stress of the fear of the unknown? There are three people in the room that like that. One of the things that it's a common thread throughout almost every conversation I've ever had when somebody is coming to me. Normally, when a person is coming to me because they're about to make a decision, it's because they don't know what to do. Like they're coming to me as their pastor or as a friend, and they're seeking maybe some wisdom, they're seeking some counsel, or perhaps they're actually asking for advice. Like, hey, what should I do? And the reason that they're asking is because they don't know what to do. The fear of the unknown is causing a type of stress in their life that is paralyzing their ability to move forward. Have you ever been there? Have you ever had a conversation with somebody who is there? Happens to all of us. You know, and it's a common experience for so many people, because when someone has to make a decision and there is unknown factors involved, the fear that creeps up in our hearts is related to consequences. We're unsure of what the consequences will be if I say yes to one decision or to another. And when you're unable to see the ends of those decisions, or we're unable to predict what's going to happen, it does cause a bit of a fear. Now, some of that fear is actually good. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, some fear is actually good. You might... No one is telling you to say that it feels good, okay? But some fear is actually good because what that means is that you are weighing through the consequences of a decision and you recognize something, you recognize involved, that there's an outcome involved here, that there is consequences involved here. This is something that the Lord actually puts inside of us. Now, when you look at your life and you're making a decision and you realize that your life is accountable unto the Lord one day, that's called the fear of the Lord. And it's the beginning of wisdom. To understand that one day your choices are going to be seen before the Lord and that the outcomes of these things, the choices that you've made during your life are going to be looked at from the Lord's perspective and he is going to judge them is something that it grounds us in our decision making. It commands something in our attention that helps us to focus when we come into these kinds of decisions. And that actually is a good thing. Whenever Nicole and I have faced decisions that have caused me a fight anxiety, I tend to be, and I've expressed this before, but I tend to be a fight or flight type person, right? And I end up on the fight side of fear. And so when I come into a place of decision or indecision and there's a little bit of the fear of the unknown popping up inside of me, I actually find that there's a little bit of an attitude that arises. And that discussion around the decision or indecision that is coming, like if you want to talk about the decision that I'm about to make, and I find myself in that place of a little bit of fear of the unknown, and I have a little bit of fight in me, I don't want to talk about it. Anybody else with me here? If you want to, you know, and Nikki and I, we've been married 20 years now, and when we get into that process where she is a brilliant communicator and enjoys asking questions concerning choices that we're going to be making in our future that may impact our family life, like, that's a decision I find that it's made in the company of husbands and wives, moms and dads. But when I'm in a place of stress, I find that it's very difficult for me to process. Something in me actually shuts down. And so I have had to learn the skill of overcoming the fear of the unknown in order to make decisions that are necessary. You know, maybe you graduate high school and you're wondering what you're supposed to do with your life. You know, should I go to college? Should I pick a career path? Should I be a dentist? Should I be a doctor? Should I be a lawyer? Anybody have those three options that ended up with? You know, should I go into construction? Should I, you know, and the decisions, and at least in my point of view, when I have more options, it doesn't help me with the decision. I'm actually better off with A or B than A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Like, if I have more options, it doesn't help me with the decision. And so I have sought the Lord and had to overcome my own sense of anxiety and fear. Now, my personality, believe it or not, I'm a very cautious person. That may surprise you because it seems like I'm really bold from up here. But the reason I'm really bold from up here is because I've become absolutely convinced of stuff in my heart and before the Lord. And so when I speak on it, I'm able to be bold because I'm fully convinced. But most decisions in life, I am personally needing to gain as much information as possible. I personally need to find out every little detail behind the decision. When I'm shopping for a car, I will spend months researching online. Now, how many are identifying with me here? I will spend months researching online. When I finally come to the decision of should it be a two-door or a four-door, or, you know, actually, I would have been happy in a communist environment where there was only one option for a car, because when it came to the decision just simply between like a SUV, a small SUV, a truck, a car, it took me a long time just to narrow it down into four doors. Now, when it came to our family vehicle, there was no options. We have, you know, there's nine people in our family. There are really like two options. So that was easy. It was like van or bigger van, you know? But when it came to like our secondary car, like I spent months researching. I wanted to know everything about the decision before I was able to come to a conclusion. Now, the reason I research is because I am trying to hedge my bet. I'm trying to put the fear of the unknown at ease. I am searching for confidence to make this decision. Now, this is a universal experience. You don't even have to answer me because I know it's true for every single person in this room. You have had to make decisions in your life that you weren't sure about. Because that's what life demands. That you have to make choices before you're ready sometimes. And the process of living with Jesus, living in the kingdom, gives us an option to demonstrate God's goodness in our decisions and gives us the ability to pull from the unseen kingdom to make sure to bring God's kingdom, his rule, into our decisions in such a way that no matter what you choose, A, B, C, D, E, you can't screw it up. What if I told you that you had a father who was so incredibly good that he went into your future before you made decisions and already knew your propensity to make different choices and had already predetermined from eternity that every decision you make was going to end up in a good place? Not that every decision you make is good, but that the outcomes would eventually lead to good. That he's gone into your future and placed in your future this unwavering magnet that is pulling you towards a good outcome. That no matter what choice you make, it's a lot like a GPS, right? You ever been in the car when the GPS, okay, Nikki and I, we took a trip to San Francisco one time, and we had a rental car, and we were using, you know, a GPS function, and we were trying to get to a specific place. Now, I had some friends in the back seat, and they supposedly understood and knew San Francisco. And I do this because it became very apparent very quickly that they did not actually know San Francisco. And we found ourselves turning onto a one-way street that was only wide enough for one car, and the rest of it was nothing but pedestrians walking. We make the turn, and the GPS is saying to me, recalculating. My friends are assuring me, it's the right decision. Keep going. Something in my conscience, as people are shaking their fist, giving language that is probably not good to discuss in church, to explain to me that we're going the wrong direction. Right? My inner beacon is going, danger, Will Robinson, you're going the wrong way. The GPS is saying, recalculating, right? My friend is assuring me, it's the right choice. And I'm feeling, as I make this turn, this experience on the inside of pressure, of an embarrassment. My mind is shutting down, and I'm having a flash of frustration and anger, because this moment has shut down my ability to make a choice that feels good in any way. When I look over at the GPS, it's saying recalculating. The only expression in that car that wasn't yelling at me by the time we got halfway down the street, my world around me is screaming, you're going the wrong way. The people in the car are you know, it's an agitated experience. It's not violent or anything like that, but we're all sort of laughing because, oh my goodness, look at what's happened to us. The only person not really upset is the GPS, and it's literally just decided from this place, I know how to get to where you're supposed to go. Cool, calm, and collected. The British voice, nice lady. Not yelling at me, not mad, not nothing. She is just recalculated to how to get to where we're supposed to go from where I have made a decision and got myself stuck. Welcome to the goodness of God. Amen. You make a decision, it's a bummer decision. Anybody ever made a bummer decision? Okay, I say bummer decision. What I mean is a bad decision. You've ever made a bad decision? Yes, okay. You make a bad decision, your conscience defiled, your mind shut down, consequences screaming, maybe the people around you frustrated, emotions shut down. And you know what the goodness of God is doing? The Lord has already gone into your future and recalculated and is speaking to you kindly and drawing you back into his will. He's really good. You don't have to be afraid. Would you just say that? I don't have to be afraid. I can't screw this up. You might be arguing with me right now. No, Pastor Damon, I can. I can screw it up. No, you could continue to make bad decisions. You can. You have the power and the authority to keep making bad decisions. But the goodness of God will keep going before you and will keep drawing you in loving kindness back towards his will. So no matter how many bad decisions you've gone and how many wrong turns and how many pedestrians are giving you the international peace sign. God's goodness will never let you down, truly. So it's not too late. Now you may be visiting tonight, you may be a part of our congregation. I don't know where your journey has been, but it's not too late. Do you repeat after me? It's not too late. Gaining knowledge, gaining understanding is in when we're making a decision, it's one of the ways that we ease the pain of the fear of the unknown. We grow in knowledge. We try to hedge our bets. You know, some of us have an extreme comfort zone. You know, we are thought of by our friends and family as risk takers. Now, some would look at me and call me a risk taker, but I'm a calculated risk taker. I am hedging my bets the whole time. Some decisions that you make may be considered risk taking to others, but probably all that is that you have a tolerance that has been stretched because you have gained knowledge. So you're making a business decision that seems risky to other people, but it's not risky to you because you already have hedged your bets. You have an understanding and a knowledge that someone else doesn't. And so you've intentionally sought out wisdom, understanding, knowledge in order to remove the sting of the fear of the unknown. But it doesn't remove it completely. And there's no real way, no matter how much digging and information gathering and how much research you have done to decide on the car that you decide eventually, you know, no matter how much you have done, there is no way to remove the possibility that you might buy a lemon. There's no way to remove the option of things just not turning out the way that you thought they were going to turn out. It's still on the table. Are you with me? There's only one sure bet. His name is Jesus. You know, even the most brazen risk taker, if you put them in the right circumstance, the most bold person you know, if I take a UFC fighter, you know, ultimate fighter, and we're talking like the biggest, most burly, bad dude, right? and put him in the right circumstances, or put her in the right circumstances, you can still make them scared. They go in facing, you know, death, the pulp getting beat out of them, and they got no problem. But I guarantee some of them, I put them in front of a pastor or a priest with a young lady standing across from them, and they're going to be shaking at their knees as they're saying, I do. It just takes the right circumstance, and every single person has got the button. Okay, so no one's immune to this experience. It happens to all of us. No exceptions. Happens to all of us. It's not a bad thing that you experience that. But what you do with that fear actually matters. What you do in the decision process actually matters. And this is the very thing that we're looking at here. This is Matthew 6, verse 25. Matthew 6, 25. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried. Okay? No anxiety. No anxiousness, no worry, no fear. Do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat, what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, nor do they reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried or anxious, can add a single hour to your life? Why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles, or the world, eagerly seeks these things. For your heavenly Father knows what you need, knows that you need all of these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. When Jesus brings up this topic, he is aiming this point of view at anxiety. His target, the thing that he is seeking to eradicate in his followers, is any kind of fear, anxiety around the situations in life. Listen, most common conversation that happens after a Sunday service, know what it is? Where are we going to eat? Most common conversation, right? Sunday morning, you're getting up. And parents, you know this drill, right? Your child comes walking in wearing a pair of PJs and an old ragged shirt and whatever. And they're like, I'm ready for church. And you're like, no, you're not. You're going to go ahead and put on some different clothes if we're going to church. You ever have that experience? They're probably not here, right? No. This is the church where your pastor wears t-shirts, and it's fine. What are you going to wear? What are you going to eat? Where are we going to live? These are common anxieties. These are normal things, and these are life decisions. They're decisions that you have to make all the time, choices that you're making, and what job you're going to possess, what career you're going to pursue is just an offshoot of these things. How are you going to make a living so that you can eat, drink, have clothes, have shelter? What choices, where are we going to live is normally, it's based on these kinds of things. Often, people determine even the career path that they're on and their position within a company and how hard they work based on income levels. It's all based on the inner sense of comfort. If your inner sense of comfort says that you need more, then you're going to work hard at work until you get that promotion and you make whatever status that you're looking to achieve. And then finally, maybe you can look at the rest of your life. But I'm telling you, we're driven by our appetites. We make choices based off of these appetites. And Jesus says, these aren't even things that you should be thinking about. These aren't the things to worry about. In fact, what he says is, listen, God knows, your Father knows that these things are something important inside of you, and He already has them covered. He already knows how you're wired. He created you. Like, anybody in here like red meat? Steak? Yes, my man. There you go. Did you know that God created you? And you like these things. And He's the one that wired your internal experience to enjoy these things. God knows that you like that stuff. Do you think that He put that in you and then is creating the world around you to deny you of things that He wired you on the inside? Now, your appetite in terms of what you like and preferences is something so small in comparison to who God has called you to be. He knows you. What you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear, your life circumstances, where you will live, these are the very things that drive our anxieties and our fears and keep us paralyzed from making decisions that run after the sense of what God's called you to. If I said to you, what do you feel like, what are you passionate about? What do you feel like God's called you to? Some might be still on the journey figuring some of that stuff out, but if I said, what are you passionate about? What do you like to do? What is it that, if you could do anything, and, you know, what's the question that, you know, the high school counselor always asked the student, you know, if money was no object, what career path would you choose? If we weren't talking about how much money you're trying to make, if we're just talking about passion, where would you go? What would you do? God made you that way. He put these things on the inside of you. Yet, we'll deny pursuits of passion and senses of calling to pursue the quieting of our fears around what will I eat, what will I drink, where will I live, what will I wear, what kind of car will I drive. Are you alive? Life in the kingdom, Jesus aims this bullet. It hits us right between the eyes. He goes, stop thinking about that stuff first. When we have that stuff first, it shuts down our ability to make decent decisions. If you're pursuing only your stomach, you're not going to make good decisions, like your appetites. Right? He gives us a priority list. He says, seek the kingdom first. Right? Seek the kingdom and His righteousness first. And then what? What's He say? All these things will be added unto you. Okay. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and then all these things. What are the things? It's the stuff you're thinking about. It's the stuff that you worry about. It's all. He goes, if you put this priority first, that stuff will be handled. However, if you put that stuff first, then it will shut down your life in the kingdom. So the question simply is this. How do you, number one, shut down anxiety and fear when you're about to make a decision? Because it really is a question of staying in the Lord's will, pursuing His righteousness, His kingdom, right? It's actually a very practical and easy process to bring the kingdom into the decision that you're making. It's not difficult. Tell your neighbor, it's not difficult. You got this. It's not difficult. You got this. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. Seek first His kingdom. That word kingdom, literally, it's kingdom, king's domain, the rule and the reign of a king. Seek first the rule of King Jesus in the decisions that you're going to make. Seek first Jesus' rule before you seek the color, make, and type of vehicle. Seek first Jesus' rule and reign before you pursue career and college and choices. Seek first kingdom before taking trip to mall. What you wear, you know. Try this one on. I am facing some decisions. I have anxiety on me. I'm in information gathering mode. I'm doing all that I know to do to remove the fear of the unknown, to be wise, to make a good decision. Like there's differences between goods and bad decisions, right? Like ones that are more profitable or less profitable, ones that cause you pain, ones that do well for your life. Like you should know, you know, make good decisions. But in the process of that, Jesus says, if you will seek first his kingdom, it literally is this step. As you are on your way to making a decision over it, you will declare Jesus' rule over it. You will find that he will begin to intervene in the process, not just the outcome. I love the fact that God's goodness is always recalculating. I love that. It's like the safeguard, though. Like, I'm not trying to get lost on the way to the restaurant. As much as the people that are riding with you think that you are, I'm not trying to get lost, right? I'm trying to make it there on the first try, right? I'm trying to follow the directions. Okay, so I'm glad that there's a plan B. I'm glad that God's goodness is always recalculated and following up behind me, and surely his kindness and his goodness will follow me all the days of my life. So glad for that. So glad God cleans up your messes. Aren't you glad? Right? That he is going to turn all things for good. Like, I'm really glad about that, but he also to make good decisions on the front end of things, which means if I will seek first his kingdom. Jesus, I declare your lordship over my finances. God, I have some major decisions making, but I decree your lordship, Jesus, over our finances. Right? You got a little bit of anxiety around your job? Anybody have any anxiety around their job? Little bit of anxiety around career, around choice, around provision, these kinds of things. Any anxiety around that? I declare the lordship of Jesus Christ over my work life. My seeking first, Jesus, I want your rule to intervene in this part of my life. Anywhere there is anxiety, it is a place where the kingdom is not being sought first. If you have anxiety around something, it's because the lordship of Jesus is being challenged. You got a health situation that's threatening your life and you're nervous about it? If you will begin to seek the lordship of Jesus over your health and you entrust your life into his hands, then the fear of that will be gone no matter what the outcome is. No matter what treatments you're facing, no matter what process you're facing, if Jesus is Lord over a situation, then the sea will be calm. Are you alive? Where you got anxiety? If you got anxiety, any place, fear, anxiety, got to make a decision. If you'll seek the lordship of Jesus in that. Now, I'm not saying, oh God, what should I do? Different thing. That's a different thing. You don't have to be paralyzed or fearful of the decision you're going to make. Why? Because he's already gone into your future and he's already determined it's going to turn for good. Okay? You have nothing to fear. You can't screw this up. You're not going to make the wrong decision according to God's will. You're not going to mess it up. Your head's with me right now. He's that good. I can hear some of you arguing in your heads with me right now. It's okay. We've both been wrong before. He's so good. You can trust him. And if you will invite, if you'll take the authority that rests on your life to bring Jesus' authority into your situation, then he will begin to be a part of the circumstances that are playing out before you. If you'll decree Jesus' lordship over your finances before you go buy that car, you won't have any, your peace will be intact when you drive off that car lot. You won't be wondering if it was okay or not, because you will have involved Jesus in the decision-making process. And if you involve him in the decision-making process, then you can trust that he will open or shut doors, that he will trust you in the midst of that. If this is a, hey, run away from this, you can trust that he'll speak to you in the midst of that. And if you drive off that car lot and you purchased a car and God, and you were like, Jesus, I decree your lordship in this. And you purchase the car and you drive off the car lot and it turns out to be a lemon. The peace of God will guard your heart and mind, knowing full well that the Lord must be involved in this process somewhere. So there is no need for me to rage against a car dealer, because the Lord was involved in your decision process. Maybe it's the mechanic that you're about to speak to who needs a piece of the kingdom. Maybe it's that salesman. Maybe it's your process. Maybe it's going to ordain a circumstance in your life later that is a part of God's plan for your life. You can be angry at the circumstances, but if you involved God in the process, then fear and embarrassment and the shutting down and the reactionary state when things don't go our way, God's peace rules over those circumstances. God's peace can rule in your heart. You will not come into anxiety, but you'll be able to maintain that steady course. Is anybody alive tonight? It's as simple as involving him in the process. You're not trying to get the decision right. You are decreeing his lordship. You are inviting him in. Listen, if your marriage is on the rocks, can I tell you the smartest thing to do is to, he wants it to his lordship over your marriage. Get him involved. He wants it to work out too. Right? Now you're going to make a choice on a counselor. What are you going to have to do? You're going to have to make some decisions. But if you've involved Jesus, then you know he's going to work it out. He's involved. You got a child. Parents, man, this is, you know, we're, Nikki and I are parents of teenagers now. Turns out they make their own decisions. You know, when you watch your child or you watch a friend or whoever making a decision that's outside of your control, right? Fear, anxiety are possible scenarios that are happening in your heart. But if you are continually taking your children and putting them in the Lord's hands, by decreeing his lordship over this, then you know that he'll be involved in the process. Philippians. You know, this is Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses your comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. The decision has to leave your control and be put in his. When you decree Jesus' lordship over a circumstance, over a situation, you are letting go of control. Okay, I love the Lord. Nikki and I have an amazing life in Jesus. We've gone through some stuff. Anybody ever gone through some stuff? We've gone through some stuff. Not every circumstance that we face are ones that we like. We've faced many circumstances in our lives. That's painful. It's not fun. Really hard at times. A lot of grief. It hasn't been easy. But when we are giving our lives continually into the Lord's hands, even though the circumstances and often the outcomes don't match what we wanted, our peace doesn't leave us. Because Jesus' lordship was introduced in the process. I don't know what you're facing. Life isn't easy, though. It's not. Circumstances don't always match up with your best expectation of what it could look like. Stuff doesn't always turn out the way that you hoped it was going to turn out. Sometimes things turn out great. Sometimes they don't. But when you are decreeing Jesus' lordship, when you're seeking first his kingdom in all those circumstances, you're introducing his will, his lordship into those things. And no matter what the outcome is and no matter what the circumstance that you face are, you will have a type of peace that keeps your mind from being anxious and facing insane type thinking. And your heart will be guarded where you won't be robbed of peace, but you'll be living in this kingdom of peace, the rule, the bubble of Jesus. So no matter what kind of storm you're facing, because peace is ruling over your life, you're going to be okay. Am I talking to anybody tonight? Would you stand to your feet? This is what I want to do tonight. This is how I want to close the evening. I want it would be great, Evie, if you play a little bit there. This is how I want to end the evening. Okay, I want you to, this is a participation church. I don't know if you knew that when somebody invited you here, but if you walked in the building, you nominated yourself to participate. This is a participation church. Okay, what I'm looking for right now, this is what I'm going to ask you guys to do. Okay, is I'm going to ask you to partner up with somebody that's near you. Okay, you're going to lock eyes with somebody that's standing next to you. You're going to nominate someone that's standing near you. Okay, I'm not going to push you too far out the boat. But what we are going to do tonight is we're going to pray for one another. And what we're going to do is we're going to declare the lordship of Jesus over one another's lives. Sometimes we feel like we have the authority and the power to speak peace to our storms. And other times, we need somebody else to help us in that process. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. So would you lay hand on someone's shoulder that's near you? Come on, don't be afraid. Peace to you in this storm right now. It's okay. You can grab 3-4 people. Just put a hand on someone's shoulder right now. Holy Spirit, we just invite you right now. You are the presence of the Prince of Peace. We invite you here. Holy Spirit, would you come right now? Would you rest upon each person? God, anoint them right now in this moment. Okay, now what I want you to do is I want you to repeat after me. I want you to say, in the name of Jesus, I speak peace over your storm. Come on, speak that over that person you're praying with right now. Go ahead, do it again. In the name of Jesus, I speak peace over your storm. Right now, I declare, come on, go for it. Right now, I declare Jesus' lordship over your circumstances. I declare, come on, Jesus' rule over the outcomes of your life. I declare Jesus' reign in your circumstance. Come your kingdom. Be done your will, Jesus, in their life. Father, right now we pray that your goodness would be like a homing beacon, that it would be so loud in people's hearts right now. Lord, that it would be resounding, the goodness of God, like a magnet, pulling people back on course in life. Lord, we speak mercy over them right now. Listen, my friend, if you have been far off course, right now is a great moment just to come back. Turn your heart back towards Jesus. Just right now, just turn your heart back towards, just, Lord, I need you. Just turn your heart back towards him right now. The goodness of God has gone before you. He'll turn your circumstance around. He will move on your behalf. Father, please, would you, you know, right now, if that's you, if I'm speaking to you right now, just pray with me right now. Father, please forgive me for running away from your goodness. I'm turning my heart right now. Come on, you can just go ahead and pray in your heart or pray with your words right now. I'm turning my heart back towards you right now, Jesus. Father, would you cause GPS, God positioning system, God, would you turn that back on in our hearts right now? That we would know, that we would feel your pull, Lord, back towards where you've called us to. Holy Spirit, we invite you right now. Would you cause, Lord, the wind of your Spirit to turn the sails of our heart, to catch the wind. Lord, that we could be going in the direction you've called us to. Lord, we turn our hearts to you right now. Lord, come your kingdom. Jesus, we decree your lordship over our families. We decree your lordship over our kids. We decree your lordship over our marriages. We decree your lordship, Jesus, over our finances, over our things. You're the one that gave them to us. Lord, we place our trust in you. We declare your lordship over our work circumstance and our career paths and the choices before us, which college we should go to, what person and people we should be friends with or pursue. Lord, we put future spouses, Lord, in your control. We declare your lordship, Jesus. Lord, come your kingdom, be done your will on earth just as it is in heaven. Father, I'm asking, Lord, with a resounding, miraculous, supernatural, Lord, movement of your Spirit. Father, right now I decree a breakthrough in provision for people's lives. We are decreeing your lordship, Jesus, and you said that you would add these things. Now, Lord, I'm asking right now for the supernatural turnaround for people's finances, supernatural turnaround in people's relationships, in marriages, with kids, Lord, that are wayward, they're turning their hearts back towards you. The supernatural turnaround, that you would add all these things. We decree that today. Father, release your angels, Lord, to go, Lord, and to align people's paths and make it so, Lord. I thank you for these things, Lord. We trust you, Jesus. We trust you. I'm closing right now, but would you let that just roll off of your heart right now, off your, open your mouth and just let that roll off of your tongue. I trust you, Jesus. We may not always understand the way, but we trust the one who's leading. Trust the one who's leading. Lord, we don't always understand the circumstances. We don't always understand the outcomes. But we know that you're good. We know that you're good. Father, I thank you for every person here. I thank you for the ministry of your Spirit right now in these moments. And God, I pray that that would continue. Lord, I pray that you would even stir up, Lord, that you would give prophetic words to people and that there would be strong encouragement that's released, God, in these coming moments. Father, I pray, God, that you would breathe on this time. Oh, Lord, I bless your people tonight. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May he be so gracious to you. May the light of his countenance, his favor, light up your life. And I pray that his peace, the shalom of God, would guard your heart and your mind and would keep you in this kingdom of his peace. Lord, we decree these things right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody who dared to agree with that said, come on, can we give a good clap to the Lord tonight? Amen.